Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning. I do want to clarify one thing. I forgot downstairs to mention the food committee, and I just want to thank them for what they did. I'm not sure where they're at right now, but I thought they did an excellent job, and I thoroughly enjoyed the morning and hope you all did as well. Our program for this morning, for those who maybe don't know, we're not having Sunday school this morning. We're having a program to take the place of Sunday school class. So we're going to have two songs here now, and then Brother Ilum is going to have a devotional, followed by several songs from Sheldon Martin. And then after that, our youth, which aren't here yet, but will be in a little bit, are going to sing some songs for us, the Bank and Peak youth combined. And then after that, Danny Miller is going to lead some songs. I'm looking for Danny. I'm not sure if he's here yet or not. But anyway, we'll work it out as we go. So that's the order. The songs might not necessarily be resurrection songs. We talked, the ones that are leading the songs, you can't have resurrection without the suffering and death, and you can't have the suffering and death without the life of Christ. So it's a little hard to have all resurrection songs for a 45-minute session here. But so it might be some on Christ's life, some on his suffering and death. But let's really think about what the morning is this morning, what we're celebrating, and what all Christ has done for us. I think we're going to start out with a resurrection song. Turn in your Christian hymnals to 119.
The soul low in the
Rosie arose with a mighty triumph for his closing.
All right, let's turn our Zion's praises to number 150. Sing a song here of his suffering.
They bound the hands of Jesus
in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he to blame.
So, greetings in the name of the one that rose from the dead. And I don't think we can grasp totally what that really means, that he rose from the dead. You know, sometimes my wife and I will dial into the Midwest conference line, and one of the things it says that if you want to raise your hand, you need to press *5. And so Randall this morning don't need to press *5. He can just raise his hand if I go too long. Okay, the main thought I want to look at is in Mark 16. And of course, the first few chapters the first few verses have to do with Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. It said they brought sweet spices and they came to anoint him. And the question that I want you to remember, and the theory behind the question is more important for you to remember, and I want to apply the question to your own life as you live it for the honor and glory of God. And the question is right here. On their way to the tomb, they said, who is going to roll the stone away from the door of the sepulchre? Now, in all reality, they wouldn't needed to ask that question. And they shouldn't have asked that question. But they was asking that question based on the knowledge and the experience and their understanding that they had at the time. And that's exactly the way you and I are. We ask questions just like this. When we're facing little decisions, we're facing mid-sized obstacles, or we're against a wall and don't know where to turn, we say, who's going to roll the stone away? And I want you to remember that. That's not even what we should be asking. Let's turn to Luke 23. These same ladies in Luke 23, notice what they were doing. This was during the death and the burial of Jesus. And it says this, Joseph of Arimathea took the body down, wrapped it, put it in the sepulcher. And guess who was watching? It says in verse 55 that the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, beheld the sepulcher, and how the body was laid. Did you get that? These ladies were following along, seeing where the sepulcher was. They were seeing where the body was laid because in their minds, they were coming back to put the spices on the body. And it says that they returned. Okay, they left the sepulcher. They went home. They prepared spices and ointments. And then, did they return back to the sepulcher? No, because it was the Sabbath day. I can imagine in their love for Jesus, they wanted to go back to the sepulcher that same day and put spices on the body, but it said no, they did not, because it was the Sabbath day and they rested. Now, back to our passage in Mark 16. Who's going to roll the stone away? And can you imagine these ladies done all this preparation and all the cost. Spices and ointments in that day were extremely expensive. And they did all this work and they did all this preparation and they found out it wasn't needed. And we do the same thing. If we get so focused, and if these ladies would, and I'm not being critical of the ladies because they were following what they knew, what they understood at the time, but I'm sure they heard that Jesus was going to raise from the dead, but they didn't translate that into what they were doing. And you know, you and I know that verse from Ephesians that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above what we ask or think. And that same was true there in their situation. And see, who was rolling the stone away wasn't even an issue. Because when it says, when they got there, and these ladies in their own minds knew that three ladies could not roll the stone away. I don't know if they was embarrassed to ask men to come help them or not, but they were on their mission, and when they got there, the stone was rolled away. And of course, they saw the tomb was empty. And Jesus had risen. It says he was not there. And they saw the place where they saw yesterday where he had been laying. And that's why they went to prepare the spices to come back. And here he was gone. And I just want us to claim that for ourselves and encourage ourselves that we should not be asking the question, who's going to roll the stone away? We should be claiming God's promises and moving forward in faith that God is able to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or think in our lives. Shall we kneel for prayer? Our Father, as we come to you today, we are so thankful that we can serve a risen Savior. We're so thankful for your Son who came to the earth. And we thank you that we have these events recorded. And we thank you for the promises that are in your word. And we just pray that by your Holy Spirit, that you will direct us when we get discouraged, when we get overwhelmed, when we feel like we're at the end of the road or at against the wall, rather than asking the question, who's going to remove the stone, let's claim your promise that you are able to do abundantly, exceedingly more than we can ask or think. Pray that you will be with our service today as we continue to worship, that our praises can, in a small way, glorify you and express the worship in our hearts. Be with Brother Jay in the message. Be with those that can't be with us today. And pray that this service can be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Zion's Praises, 145. 145. 809.
To a singing that we can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. As he said, quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, he's risen.
Stone was rolled away. Home rose with the dawn. thank you all youth for doing a quality job of singing. Very well done. I would like to try the Easter anthem in the Zion's Praises, 175. And let's stand to sing this song if you can. 175. I know it's kind of tricky, but just watch your parts and sing out. Turn back and sing Lift Your Glad Voices, 170.